Welcome to episode 388 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Matthew 28 verses 19 to 20 contains what has come to be called the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus gave this command to the apostles shortly before he ascended into heaven, and it essentially outlines what he expected the apostles and those who followed them to do in his absence. It is interesting that in the original Greek, the only direct command in this passage is to make disciples. The Great Commission instructs us to make disciples while we are going throughout the world. The instructions to go, baptize, and teach are indirect commands, participles in the original. How are we to make disciples? By baptizing them and teaching them all that Jesus commanded. Make disciples is the primary command, or the Christian's marching orders. Going, baptizing, and teaching are the means by which we fulfill that command. Many understand Acts 1 verse 8 to be a part of the Great Commission as well. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Great Commission is enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are to be Christ's witnesses, fulfilling the Great Commission in our cities, Jerusalem, in our states and countries, Judea and Samaria, and anywhere else God sends us, to the ends of the earth. Throughout the book of Acts, we see how the apostles began to fulfill the Great Commission, as outlined in Acts 1 verse 8. First, Jerusalem is evangelized, and we see this in Acts 1 through 7. Then the Spirit expands the church through Judea and Samaria, as recorded in Acts 8 to 12. Finally, the gospel reaches into the ends of the earth, as recorded in Acts 13 through 28. Today, we continue to act as ambassadors for Christ, and we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We've received a precious gift, the faith that was once for all entrusted to God's holy people. Jesus' words in the Great Commission reveal the heart of God, who desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. The Great Commission compels us to share the good news until everyone has heard. Like the servants in Jesus' parable, we are to be about the business of the kingdom, making disciples of all nations. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. The passage we read from Acts 1 verse 8 were Jesus' parting words to the disciples from the Mount of Olives before he returned to heaven. Following the ascension, the disciples returned to Jerusalem to await the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verse 14 says this of those disciples, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brothers. And this group was still together in one place on the day of Pentecost. At the foot of Mount Sinai, God told Israel how to celebrate Pentecost once they reached the Holy Land. Generations later, on the day of this Old Testament festival, Christ poured out his Spirit in Jerusalem. Shavuot, or the Feast of Weeks, was primarily a thanksgiving for the first fruits of the wheat harvest, but it was later associated with a remembrance of the law given by God to Moses. This day, the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the crucifixion, essentially marks the birth of the church that Jesus Christ built. Jesus said that the gates of hell would not prevail against the church, meaning that no enemy, not even death itself, could stop the church. Even Saul, who later became Paul, who may have been the most aggressive persecutor of the church, even he could not slow down the growth of the church. But how were these early Christians able to successfully act on the Great Commission, the call to make disciples? Acts 2 verses 42 to 47 shows just how this happened. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. These verses offer us insights into how the church was able to multiply quickly. One, there was good teaching. The apostles taught from the intimate, personal experiences they'd had with Jesus. They taught opening the scriptures, examining what the Old Testament prophets had said about the coming Messiah. Two, those who were taught applied that teaching. Verse 42 says that they devoted themselves to that teaching. This term, devoted themselves, has been translated elsewhere as continued steadfastly in. This uses a Greek verb communicating a steadfast and single-minded fidelity to a certain course of action. Those who studied with the apostles understood what they were studying to be the truth of God, and they took it to heart and followed what it is they were taught to do. Note that to continue in something or devote oneself to something requires time. These were not 5-minute reviews of the Bible app verse of the day once per week. They were deep, ongoing studies. Three, they fellowshipped with each other. This is a deep level of communication and association. This involves being vulnerable with one another, sharing struggles, sharing victories, sharing ongoing understanding, sharing a desire for learning and growing and worshiping. They broke bread together. They enjoyed each other's company. What one had was shared with what others needed. Four, they were devoted to prayer. There was no outpouring without being of one accord, praying with each other. There was no ongoing growth without prayer. Five, they praised God together. There is power in praise. One thing not mentioned in these verses that also helped in the making of disciples is persecution. The more the enemies of the way repressed the church, the more it grew. Second century church father Tertullian is credited with saying that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. If we want to make disciples today, we ought to follow the methodology used by the earliest Christians. Teach, fellowship, pray, and praise. And don't be afraid of those who might resist our efforts. If we stand for the truth, if we forgive, if we persevere, in spite of persecution, others will be drawn to what we believe. Father, thank you for trusting us with the awesome responsibility of being used by the Holy Spirit to make disciples. Help us to follow the same model used by the early church and give us the courage to act in spite of resistance. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.